Are we living in the end times tonight? Session 7, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So for those of you who were listening last week, I will get to the get to the millennial reign of Christ, but I jumped the gun in saying that because the second coming has to happen before the millennial reign. So if we will begin that tonight, Brother Randy Kidder, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to gather once again in your house and to hear your word proclaimed. Lord, open our ears, open our hearts. Help us, Father, to hear the word with joy and get it inside of us with wisdom, Father. We ask for Brother Larry to be able to rightly divide your word, Father, and to proclaim it in the way that you'd have us to hear it. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Randy. Tonight, the question we're going to answer is, can we be sure that Jesus is coming back? There's nothing more clearly stated in the Bible than the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, page 1 for our folks here. As you're looking at it, I want to give you the stats on this about the second coming of Christ according to Scripture. Jesus' return is referred to in the Bible 1,845 times, 1,527 times in the Old Testament, 318 times in the New Testament. Now, I want you to think of that. 1,527 times the second coming of Christ is referred to in the Old Testament before the first coming of Christ. The second coming is mentioned in 23 of 27 New Testament books. Out of the New Testament's 260 chapters, there are 318 references to the second coming. On average, then, the second coming is referred to more than once a chapter of the New Testament. Jesus' second coming is mentioned 8 times for every 1 reference to his first coming. Isn't that something? For every mention of the atonement in the Bible. Okay, what's the atonement? For those who may be listening and not familiar with the term atonement. If you want to understand what atonement is, break it down into 3 words. At one ment. Just put your hyphen in there. At one ment with Christ. The atonement of Christ, where we become one with Christ through his saving grace, through his mercy and our faith in him. For every mention of the atonement in the Bible, there are 2 references to the second coming. So the focus of the second coming from the beginning of Scripture is greater than in any other topic, the second coming of Christ. Now, we look at the Old Testament prophets, people, the scholars of the Old Testament, the preachers, all of the leaders and all, they were told and told and told that Jesus was coming, let's say the first time. They didn't believe it. Remember, it was the religious leaders of the day that never showed up for the birth of Christ in the manger. And yet they were the ones that the message was given to. Your Savior will be born in Bethlehem of Judea. You will find a child in a manger wrapped in Bethlehem, or in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Remember? They were told that. How many of them showed up for the birth? None. Not a one. Now, we then, the church age. We have the scripture, and we know that through the Holy Scripture from Old and New Testament now, that the second coming is so projected throughout the existence of God's creation that we should all be focusing on that second coming. And yet I guarantee you, the church age, so many of the leaders will miss it. How many times do you hear it preached on? How many times do you even hear a focus on the end time? Well, you know, that's just a little bit too spooky for us. Well, good gracious, people, spooky for us is living in this world. That's as spooky as it gets. Getting up of a morning. And then you really got a fright. You go to the mirror. I'm speaking to myself now. Okay, Enoch. Now, this will be a little, I should have asked you first who was the first prophet of the Bible, but I've done giving it away now. I'm not going to ask you, Paula. Enoch, who lived only seven generations after Adam, is considered the first prophet of the Bible. He prophesied about the second coming, and Enoch was taken. And he was taken up and was not seen it. That's correct. Enoch was there. He was translated. He was raptured. That's correct. Do all of those folks come back and die? Yes. Yes.
All of them die.
Here in the book of Jude. Who was Jude? Anybody know Jude? What's Jude's relation to Jesus?
Brother.
Half brother. That's correct. That's correct. Who's the other one that we know of Scripture?
James.
James. That's correct. Okay. Enough of that. Jude 14. That means, because there's only one chapter of Jude. Okay. Verse 14. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with, here we show up, you ready for us? Thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. Woo! Thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. That's a lot of people that are saved. Did you know that? Therefore, the first prophecy of the Bible concerns the second coming. Now, there's a whole lot more to it than that, folks. And I'm talking about from the inside and in the spiritual message there, that you and I will never, ever be able to understand this side of heaven. You talk about, as much as you love history, Randy, talk about what we're going to learn. And you know, one of these days when we're with our Lord in heaven, can you imagine the history lesson? Can you imagine the eons of time it's going to take for us to just do the... I get excited about learning. Then I'll be more excited about just being there. You know, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Don't know how long that I'll be praising the Lord throughout eternity. But, you know, it's going to take me a long, 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 long time just thanking Him for letting me in, for having mercy on me. Also, the final prophecy of the Bible deals with the second coming. Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The second coming. It was so powerful that many of the disciples thought that Jesus was going to be coming back in their lifetime. There's many reasons that they thought that, but thought that Jesus was coming back directly while they were still living. And they were excited because they... But the main excitement that dealt with them because of their human condition was that Jesus is going to give the Roman Empire the whooping and the comeuppance that is needed all of this time. And they wanted to see it happen. Now, that's the human element that's involved here. Lord, I know, and I'm waiting faithfully for you to come, but will you let me watch? Because I know a lot of them by name. Will you let me just watch it? And talk about the wrong attitude. But the Lord understood the human breakdown and frailty within the human mind to where we would think that way. But don't look at it as being wrong thinking, or look at it as people who would think that would be bad, because God doesn't. Because God understands us. In Revelation, we hear Jesus say, "I come quickly, or I will come like a thief," seven times. Three times in the final chapter, and you have your references there. People are exhorted over 50 times to be ready for the return of Jesus. Jesus Christ himself refers to his return 21 times. So let's just put it up there as the most important topic of Scripture. Outside of salvation is always the second coming of Christ. Angels believe and testify that Jesus is coming back. When Jesus ascended to heaven, angels stated that he would return just as he left. That's Acts 1, 6 and, through 11. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up in the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." He will come back in the same way. Therefore, we know how the second coming of Christ shall appear, and all shall see him. We don't even question that today if you've studied Scripture at all and as a Christian. But to many, they say, "Well, you know, that's just too deep for me to fathom." Let me tell you, if it wasn't too deep, would it be from God? If I can understand my salvation, is that salvation truly from God if man can break it down? Can I explain the triunity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? I can only accept it and believe it. And all of the attempts to try to explain that to anyone is futile, because it is of God. And our minds cannot wrap around what we have not seen. What we have not seen in heaven, I cannot imagine. What God has planned for each of us. And do you know one thing? Catch this. Every plan God has for us is good and perfect. Now, he is the one that has our eternity perfectly planned out. I'm not going to have a bad hair day. Not at all. Leave it alone, Paula. I'm not going to have bad hair days And you're not either. There's not going to be anything wrong. You know, I hear a saying, you know, and there's a song, Walking in Heaven, where that I see a tear or so. Now, we know that there are no tears in heaven. There are no tears of sorrow. See, I don't know what heavenly tear would look like. I'm talking, God is telling us about earthly pain, earthly breakdown and all of this. I mean, if I get to have a heavenly tear, then I'm for it. Yeah, it is. I knew that. I was getting ready to sing it for you, tell you. I didn't. Okay. The Bible is clear that Jesus is coming again. Make no mistake, He is coming back just as He promised. How does the Bible state that Jesus will return? Let's look at it. Number one, He will come personally. Okay, it's not going to be a hologram. And stay out of some of those fictitious books that you people read. The Left Behinds and all of this kind of stuff. No, he is coming back personally. He's coming back. Now, what's he going to look like? He's coming back just exactly the way that he left. They recognized him as Jesus. He's coming back in the glorified body. See, he left in a glorified body. The body he left in is the body that you and I are getting. We're getting the glorified body just as soon as the second coming, the resurrection. We're up, we're with him, we will be glorified. We get the glorified body. Therefore, when we come back, we're all coming back with a glorified body. Interesting on that glorified body. That his disciples at first did not recognize him, didn't know who he was. And then all of a sudden, they would recognize who he was. At certain times, he would be walking along with them and they had no idea. And then after he's gone, they said, that was the Lord. But when he comes back, as the angel said, you will see him coming as you saw him go. Got it? So he's coming back personally. I read all of that, didn't I? Yes. 1, 10, and 11. Number two, he will come literally. Not figuratively is he coming back. And I keep listening to folk who's wanting to say, yes, but you see, that's just figuratively speaking. The rapture is figuratively speaking. Millennial reign. Well, that's just figuratively speaking. The millennial reign, it's a metaphor for him reigning. It's not a metaphor. He's going to physically reign. Do you hear me? He said, I will reign on the throne of David, which is on this earth, not the new earth, on this earth, and I will reign on David's throne for 1,000 years. So, yes, I truly believe Scripture, and that no, this world is not going to be terminated until after the millennial reign. And then God's doing it. Brother Randy, would you get the mic over here as we prepare for one of those questions? Thank you.
When Jesus sits on David's throne, mm-hmm. He's going to be the universal king during this millennium. It's going to be every nation, or is it just over the tribe of
Israel? Over the world.
Over the world.
Yes. He when he sits on the throne, he is going to be... This will be the only monarch that you will bow to. This will be the true reigning Christ. Through this period of time, we do know that, and you all will see this in that study on the millennial reign, but you're living 1,000 years again, which doesn't, 1,000 years old again, which doesn't affect us because we're with him here in a glorified body. And we are reigning with him. Remember what I read earlier about the prophet Enoch was saying that thousands upon thousands of the saints, you know, that us coming back with him and reigning with him. I just know that we're going to be here with him, and death has no effect on us. None of the other stuff has no effect on us, but we are reigning and doing what he's called us to do. That's what we're in tryouts for here on planet Earth now, our gifts. You know, what we're doing, I know that if you, if I put you in charge of little and you're prosperous, I'll put you in charge of much, and you remember all of that. Remember that the individual who is given much, much is expected. Yep, go through the wall. You'll be doing that just to, you'll be wanting, you know, if I was 100% human, I'd get behind, I'd scare Lottie Hancock to death. I'd sneak in that room, appear, but it ain't going to work. Now Lonnie going to be floating around with the rest of us. He will come literally. I saw heaven, Revelation 19, 11 through 13. I saw heaven standing open. And there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. Now, that's the second coming. Now, he's coming literally. We see that. We see it. We are going to see it whether we're here or we're coming with him. We're part of it. You got it? We're already gone. The Lord's coming. We're coming back with him, and we will see it. The Christians are those who have accepted Christ during the tribulation period. They will witness it as well. Number three, he will come visibly and suddenly. Matthew 24, verses 22 through 27. At that time, if anyone says to you, now this is Jesus speaking here, look here, it's the Christ, or there he is. Do not believe it, for false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect. But now look at the last half of that sentence. If that were possible, if that were possible, this is how deceitful and the power that's going to be to deceive even the elect, if that were possible, which it is not possible. For the elect of God, who is that? We're the elect of God. We're saved. We're the elect of God. So deception can only come in the human mind. Deception cannot come in my spirit as a Christian. Cannot come in my spirit as a Christian. Only in my mind. My mind then can get warped and mangle and start arguing with my spirit, but my spirit is in the hands of Christ, and nobody can take me out of his hands. Okay. See, I have told you ahead of time. Listen to Jesus. I've told you this ahead of time. So if anyone tells you there he is out in the desert, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Leave the Kool-Aid alone, people. Don't drink it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. When Jesus comes, there will be no doubt. There will be no question that it's him. Nobody is going to have to tell you, I saw Jesus over here. Because when they see Jesus, you see Jesus. Any questions about any of that? Number four, he'll come dramatically and gloriously. I think that's pretty dramatic. I think how he left was pretty dramatic. I think the cross was pretty dramatic. And I think coming out of that tomb was awesome. Dramatic. Matthew 24:29-31. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened. What's the distress of those days? Tribulation. Period. Got that? Immediately after that, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. You will see all of this turmoil in the heavenly realm. Now, that's not the doing away with planet Earth. This is a sign of the coming of the Son of God. Such power and glory. Now, you picture this. The heavenly lights, the stars, everything has been placed there for a purpose, for nightlight, for God's glory. Got that? But now the glory of God is coming. He's coming. He's ripping from the third heaven. He's coming right on down through the heavenly bodies and coming right on down to earth. And folks, do you not think, and all of us coming with him, that that's not going to shake things up of things that are made of matter, of what we see physically and can touch? He is shaking it up. And the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky. Okay? When he left a while ago, when I read the scripture, disciples watching him ascend. Remember? Do you remember about a cloud that came in and hid their face from that? Okay? On the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Ah, great enough glory that it shook the stars loose from heaven. It shook the foundation of the earth. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Hear that again. They will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the what? To the other. Many will say from one end, they look at it and say, yeah, from one end of the earth to the other. No. It's all the elect of God are coming down. He will gather them all from heaven. We all are coming. You got it? But all that many we don't know about. And now be careful here, because I don't want to get confusing. There's one way, and that way is Jesus Christ for salvation. You got that? His name is it. But there were many different venues from creation to his name. You got that? Okay, God uses a miracle that will lead me to the name of Jesus. A big boulder rolling off of a hill. It squishes Randy but misses me. I thought I'd throw that one in. And it misses me. And I said to myself, he knew Jesus. That means he told me the stories. He's going to be with Jesus if that happens. If I want to be with Jesus, then that rock had just preached to me, Jesus. You get what I mean when I'm saying that? There's one Jesus, but whether he used the temple of old to bring people to the believe in the blood that would be shed by Christ to come. It's always been about Jesus. It's always been about the shedding of his blood. The Old Testament points to the Messiah coming. The New Testament, the Messiah has come. The blood has been shed. The end age, the church age, is he's coming back. It's always about Jesus. Never has been any difference. Yes, ma'am.
So, Brother Larry, the people who are saved during the tribulation,
yes,
will they have glorified bodies, but when Jesus comes back, or will they still be in a natural body?
When he comes back, it's during that time, and they will still be in their natural body. At what point does he change them? I do not know. But he will. But it even goes deeper than that. What about the ones that are saved during that millennial period of time? They still live out their life in that physical body, even though it may be living 1,000 years. They're living that out until he closes everything out. Until it's all over, nothing can be tallied up. Let me put it that way. Okay. I was led to Jesus Christ by the word of God being preached. That's how I walked the aisle and I accepted Christ. It's God's word speaking to me. Holy Spirit leads me and I come and I accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, upon accepting Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I am saved and that salvation cannot be taken away from me. But I'm still stuck in this body ever since that eight-year-old boy experience. I'm still stuck in here. I still battle everything that's going on. But I'm just as saved today as I was at 8 years old. Just as saved. So then the preacher, Brother John Wall, preached that. Now, I got tallied in to Brother John's check marks in heaven. Another soul won through the preaching. He did what God told him to do, and I accepted Christ. Now, but John is dead. But now everyone that I have been able to lead to Christ over the years, that still goes to his tally too. Plus with me. You got that? You lead someone to Christ. You say, the only one I know has ever accepted Christ because of me, which you're wrong on that. There will be many. Is one. Well, that one was Billy Graham. Well, then, everyone he leads to Christ, that goes on your checklist also. So that's why nothing can end up being totaled up until the end, until God says, that's it. You got that? And people say, well, what does that matter? You're going to heaven. It matters because we get to put the crown, the rewards, we put at the feet of Jesus to glorify him. And we are admitting, Lord, I have nothing. It's all you. And we present it to you. And we get the inheritance. Now, I'd say that's a pretty good deal, right? So that's why when it comes down, well, is this going to happen then? Is this going to happen there? There's so much it can't take place until the Lord says, okay, it's tally time. Now, you'll see that at the end of the millennial reign when that tally time comes of those who are cast into hell. Now, anybody else got a question on that? No, lady, you're not good. Okay. Number five. He will come triumphantly. All he comes into the world, that little baby in a manger, so fragile. He goes out, put on a cross. Oh, as the world would say, they humiliated him. He humiliated the grave, people. That's embarrassing for for Satan. Gosh, he is already in the tomb 3 days, and here he comes shooting out. But guess who got humiliated on that? He will come triumphantly. Revelation 19:19-21. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. Sound like Armageddon, right? Okay. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That don't even smell good, does it? The rest of them were killed with the sword, listen to it, that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. The banquet for the birds, the vultures. What was that all about? That was all about how much God loves us. Armageddon that everyone gets so worried about. I'm listening to them talk about, you know, oh, this is Armageddon, this is Armageddon. I think, God, you wimps. Good gracious. You and I do not fight the battle of Armageddon. Jesus has already won it. But where's your power? Your power is the same power that fights and conquers all hell itself, Satan, the false prophets. Your power is the Word of God. Same Word that's coming from Jesus' mouth as He comes. Jesus doesn't have a physical sword. He doesn't need one, because the Word of God is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It's always the power is in the Word, just like the power in the blood. When you got the blood and you got the Word, all hell cannot stand against you. All hell cannot keep you in a tomb if God wants you out. All cancer, I don't care what it is, has no authority when it comes to the Word of God. Mocking death. Well, you know, you shouldn't mock death, Brother Larry. God, Jesus did, and He told me whatever He does, I can do. So I can mark it. I'm marking it. Will I leave this body? Hopefully. Yes.